I love the Word of God. It's filled with answers for every situation and every challenge that we have. And so we're looking this morning at the whole world of anxiety, the whole world of anxiety. And anxiety, according to Beyond Blue, which is one of Australia's leading organizations dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression, is anxiety is the most common mental health issue faced by Australians. The most common mental health issue faced by Australians, okay? In a lot of ways, anxiety and stress are brother and sister. They go together. They fight a little bit sometimes. They go together. And so the buildup of stress in our lives, and, you know, in a lot of ways, this message goes with last week's message. So I encourage you to kind of have a listen to a podcast of last week's message if anxiety is a challenge. And the two of them will kind of blend to help you maybe relieve some of the stress in your life, but also get some keys for dealing with anxiety when it hits us today. All of us deal with stress in different ways. All of us handle stress in multiple ways. I was in a situation last night where I was feeling stressed and I was feeling anxious because I was watching the Reds play the Crusaders at Suncorp Stadium. The struggle is real, okay? The struggle is real. And with 1 minute to go, it was 20-19, and then the flipping Kiwi scored a penalty. And there we go. God bless the Kiwis, I know. I know some of our church were at the Broncos game on Friday night, and JT robbed us again. Okay, that's anxiety, but it's not the level of anxiety that's crippling. And anxiety can be crippling. And we all handle stress in different ways. And there's two particular common ways that a lot of people handle stress. One is to internalize it, and the other is to externalize it. And if you're an externalizer, you talk it out. Everybody knows how you feel. Maybe you kind of release it with anger when you're feeling stressed and people are walking on eggshells around you when you're stressed. And that's why we're going to talk about anger management next week. But then there's the one who looks like they've got it all together, but because they're the silent type. And they look like nothing's phasing them, but actually are internalizing stuff. And the danger of that is it damages our health, and ultimately it can lead to one big explosion. And you don't want to be around a person who looked like they had it together for years and never said or talked about their challenge or their anxiety and then exploded. That's also not particularly pretty. I'm not going to ask you to identify as an internalizer or an externalizer this morning. We're just going to kind of roll on with this. Now, some of the identifiers of anxiety when it gets into a consistent form. So it's normal. A little bit of anxiety is actually not bad. It's about like stress. It's not bad. To feel a bit anxious when you're preparing for an exam, if that motivates you to try a bit harder, that's not a bad thing. To feel a little bit anxious when your teenagers in the learners beside you in the car driving and you're giving them instructions, a little bit of anxiety can kind of help bring the boundaries in a little bit, right? You know what I'm talking about. All right. Okay. But when anxiety becomes crippling, when anxiety becomes something that sort of overwhelms us and leads us to live not a normal life, we need to understand, we need to get a handle on it and understand it. Some of the signs, physical signs of those who have anxiety issues, hot and cold flushes, racing heart, tightening of the chest, quick breathing, panic attacks. For some people, and I've got some friends who've had thought they were having heart attacks because of a buildup of stress over a period of time led them to have a panic attack. Good people, godly people. There's the psychological issues of anxiety that have excessive fear, worry. Catastrophizing is one of the common terms used in this area, where a little thing goes wrong, but suddenly in our mind we play it out and it's like your kid's late coming home and it's 3 minutes after their curfew and you're suddenly at the funeral in your mind. That's called catastrophizing, okay? That's an issue that many people struggle with. Or just behavioral, where it means we avoid situations because we're anxious about a particular situation or people, and it can impact on our study, our work life, our social life. It's a feeling of panic or nervousness that overwhelms and can sometimes cloud us, leaving us jittery in our soul, leaving us not really wanting to face life, but to withdraw from life. Anxiety is a common issue. And again, I'm not going to ask us to identify ourselves if this is a big issue we struggle with, but I would hazard a guess that in this room, right now, there's a number of people, it was a big effort for you just to get to church. Because you're coming to an unfamiliar environment, perhaps, or an environment with a lot of people, and the tendency with anxiety is to withdraw and to isolate. The tendency with anxiety is it robs us of our voice to keep us silent. So here today, one of the things that I want us to know, to be really aware of, is to bring it into the open. Anxiety wants to silence you. It wants to isolate you, and it wants to make you feel ashamed for being anxious. But today, we're coming to confront that whole vibe of anxiety. We're going to expose its tactics and unpack keys to break its power over our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to help us today. It's going to help us. It's going to help us. Now, I'm going to look at some practical things today. And last week I shared a couple of things about, you know, to help with stress and even anxiety. Exercise is really good. A sense of humor is a really important thing. Due to popular demand, I shared some dad jokes last week. I've had so much requests to kind of keep sharing the dad jokes. There's lots of people. So here's one. I recently went to the doctor and I was diagnosed as being colorblind. I didn't see it coming. It just came out of the purple. Come on. Not bad, eh? Just came out of the purple. Okay. All right. You want? No, I won't. I won't. I'll spare you today. I'll spare you today. All right. So here we go. What I want to talk about, circumstances that come our way and will cause anxiety. But I want us to understand that some of the circumstances that come our way, they come from different sources. They're different storms that come into our life. And you've got to, you have to understand where the storm is coming from so that you can deal with the situation appropriately. And as I was reading my Bible this week, God spoke to me out of the book of Jonah, and it really began to unpack to me to understand that in the Bible particularly, there are three different types of storms that we face, and there's a different way to respond to each type of storm. Now, I don't have the blackboard here this morning, but if I did, actually, if we got a white marker, if we got one there, because I'll use the drum cage if we've got one, that will just really help me. If we can grab that. Okay, so there's three different types of storm, and I want us to understand, because if you understand the type of storm you're in, you'll be able to get your response appropriate to it. Here we go. Thank you so much. Who needs a blackboard when you've got a drum cage? Nice to have Brody drumming for us today too, wherever you are, Brody. Thank you very much. Okay, storms. If I just write that up here, storms. We all have storms in our life. We all have circumstances that will try to overwhelm us, try to get us anxious, try to get us withdrawing. And so the first type of storm that we can find ourselves in, the source of the storm, is disobedience. I know. Disobedience. Get this right. Disobedience. Because if you think the storm is the devil and you're trying to bind the devil, but it's actually God, then your response to the storm, which can be making you anxious, is really important. So Jonah is a great story in the Bible of someone who finds himself where God says, Jonah, I want you to do this. And he goes, no, I do not want to do it your way, God. And he jumps on a boat and goes the opposite direction. You'll find this story in the book of Jonah. He goes the opposite direction. And in going the opposite direction, he gets on this boat and suddenly a storm comes. And the storm is not a normal storm. It's a storm sent by God, because God is trying to get Jonah to turn around and go back to his assignments. And so the poor guys on Jonah's boat find themselves in this massive storm, and they start throwing everything overboard. They start doing all the normal things to try and deal with the storm so that they can overcome the storm, but it's not a normal storm. And so doing normal things won't help you deal with the normal storm. You've got to do one thing. There's only one thing that will help you deal with the storm of disobedience, and that's to repent. and to turn around. So they have this moment, the story of Jonah tells us that they eventually threw him overboard. And the moment they threw him overboard, the Bible tells us, the moment they threw him overboard, the raging sea and the storm stopped at once. And then the internal anxiety that Jonah was dealing with was in that moment stopped. He dealt with his anxiety by simply making a decision to turn around and go the other way. Now here, I don't know what your thoughts or belief about God is, but I often look at my parents to get a little bit of an insight of the way they would think, the way God thinks. And I can remember some storms of disobedience that came my way as a kid. I remember some moments where I would do certain things and my mum was, well, my mum more than my dad, I would say, was the stormtrooper of the house. And so if young John happened to cross the boundaries and start to go in the direction that wasn't the way that the family values were, you know, I remember one particular occasion, mum would like, dad was a farmer. I got home, I was a schmuck as a kid. I actually was a real schmuck. I was a total boundary pusher. And so they had to kind of teach me through some storms how to behave. And the storms came through a wooden spoon or things like those as a youngster. So I remember my mum once saying, you know, just wait till your father gets home. And I went to my room and I was moping and she's just like, oh, this is terrible. This is awkward. There's a darkness over the house. I'll just do it myself. And she dealt with me very quickly. The storm came into my bedroom. Now, it was always loving and it was always firm and it was always caring. It was always love afterwards. But why did they do it? They did that. Something came into my life because they recognized if I kept going the track I was going, I was getting out of God's plan for my life. I was getting out. And eventually, if I get out of God's plan for my life, the eternal destruction of getting away from God is much worse than the pain of a short-term storm. So you might find yourself in a situation where everything's gone to custard, where things just don't seem to be working out. And the question to ask yourself before you do anything else in terms of dealing with anxiety is this: am I following God or am I disobeying God? Now, Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says it like this. Search me, O God. It's a prayer of David. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. God knows your anxious thoughts. He knows them. He's aware of them. He's accustomed to the thoughts of your heart. He says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, if I'm on the wrong path, and I've got anxious thoughts in my heart because of it, I want you to point it out to me so I can quickly turn around and get on the right path. And Jonah, I can go back and prophesy to Nineveh. Yes, there might be a supernatural whale that'll get me going back the other direction. That whale was really a place of Jonah getting on his knees before God and saying, okay, God, I surrender. Don't wait for God to send a whale into your life, please. Just get on the right path and go, God, what is it in me? Just what is it? Why am I anxious? Am I anxious because I need to humble myself before God and get on track with Him? Is that helping anybody here this morning? That's the first storm. Quite simple. I think it's important that we understand it. So the response here that I need to do is I need to repent. Repent really just means to change my mind. Once my mind is changed, my behavior is going to change. And I'll start to turn around and walk in another direction. Another type of storm that can come into our life, okay, is the storm of demonic opposition. The storm of demonic opposition. I'm going to get to the general normal storms, but I thought I'd start with these because this is really important for us to understand. This story is found in Mark chapter 4. You can read about it a little bit later on. And it's a story where Jesus is crossing to the other side of a lake with his disciples. In the middle of this going to the other side of the lake, there suddenly a storm arises. Jesus is asleep in the boat. The disciples, who are qualified fishermen, begin to freak out. They're like, this is terrible. We're going to die. What's going on? There's this crazy storm like we've never seen before. And then they wake Jesus up and he gets up and he doesn't go life rafts everybody. He doesn't go, oh, quick, throw things overboard. He doesn't say paddle harder. He just turns to the storm, stares at it and rebukes the storm, and instantly the storm stops. Instantly the storm stops. Sometimes there's storms that come into your life and my life that come out of nowhere. there suddenly, and there's a spiritual significance behind the storms that we need to understand. It's an attack. Now, the reason there was an attack, and I've been in this particular, I've been on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus, where this miracle occurred, and I've seen where they were headed to a place called the Gadarenes. The Gadarenes was the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was in that particular place two men, but one particularly who were demonized. They were so demonized, they were so attacked by evil spirits that they cut themselves, hurt themselves, they were chained up and they broke the chains. Nothing could restrict them. They lived in a grave, in a graveyard. And so Jesus, he was going over to that other side and he was going to deliver that guy, get him set free, get him healed, and then he would become a witness to change that whole region for God. So something spiritually significant was about to happen on the other side, and that's why they got some demonic opposition. So what we have to understand is 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 to 9 says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by the brothers in the world. There is a real devil. I just want us to be aware of this today. There is a real enemy. He is a fallen angel who refused to worship God, and now he roams around the earth like a lion. For Christians and non-Christians, for people who follow Jesus and those who don't follow Jesus, he wants to ruin your life. He wants to wreck your life. We did a little safari, when was it now? The beginning of this year. And we were in Africa and we went on this safari. We went in this kind of what van it was, like a van and with a pop top and with a guide who had a gun on her lap and taking us into the safari. And we were looking for lions and giraffes, and really we're looking for lions, but there's giraffes and buffalo and deer and everything else. We're really looking for lions. And we get up to this place and we're looking out into the distance at a whole lot of buffaloes, and she says, stop the car. And so we stop the car and then she starts to talk really quiet. She says, just look around. And so we're all looking out this side and we're like, where is it? Like over there in the distance. She says, no, to the left. And we go, to the left. She goes, no, further to the left. And we look around, and about 2.5 meters away is this lion right outside. And then she just quietly says, just wind all your windows up. I'm like, okay, let's wind the windows up. This is the lion. I've got a photo of it here. There's just, if we can whack that up there. This is her just right beside our car. And it was an awesome moment because there was a car between us and the lion. And there was a gun in the front seat. It was kind of very reassuring. A little bit later on, as the sun set, we heard this almighty roar come out of from the distance. And the guy started off-road heading towards it with his lights. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure how this works out. But anyway, as long as we stay in the car, what could possibly go wrong? Except that we'd watch YouTube and seen a lot of things that have gone wrong. Anyway, so we're heading there, and there's this jungle, there's this lion roaring. And so then some nursery rhymes start coming back to me, you know, and I started to realize how sicko some of the people who wrote the nursery rhymes are. Like, in the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps, hush my baby, don't cry. Why don't we want the baby to cry? Because if the baby cries, it's going to wake the lion up. The lion's going to come and eat us. I'm like, great song, hush my baby, or we're all going to get eaten. And then there's Rockabye Baby in the treetop, the cradle now falls. And like, who's writing these songs for our kids anyway? Go sideways for a moment. Distract. Be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil. I'm here to help some people today that sometimes the anxiety you're facing, it's not normal anxiety. It's anxiety that comes at you because you have an enemy who is attacking you and he's wanting to put pressure. And with that attack comes a feeling of dis-ease, a feeling that will clothe you. Why does the enemy attack? Well, sometimes just in our normal life, that roaring lion is looking to grab a hold of your teenage kid. Just looking to grab that kid and get them having those particular drugs, and because he's trying to destroy their future and there's a roaring lion going after them. Maybe it's in a marriage situation, and there's a roaring lion trying to sabotage a marriage, and the anxiety you feel, it's not just normal, it's because behind it there's an enemy after your life. Maybe there's an enemy's trying to suck you in to make a dumb decision in the spur of a moment that could ruin what you've been building for year after year after year. There is an enemy of our soul who tries to attack us, and with that attack comes often anxiety. Now, sometimes that attack happens, and I want us to be aware of this. Sometimes as a Christian that happens because you just start deciding to do something for God. And you weren't a threat to the devil, but now you've become a threat to the devil. And so suddenly, you know, you've decided to get baptized, and then every appliance in your house just broke down that week. What is that? That's the enemy coming after you. Suddenly you decided to come to church every Sunday, but you're waking up Sunday mornings with migraines. What is that? Behind it is a darkness. Suddenly you've decided to step up and join a team, serve, bring a friend to church, do something, and then all of a sudden it's like your spouse has turned into the devil incarnate themselves. Don't rebuke them. Just a little tip for you, okay? Don't rebuke them. Actually, we had a lady in our church once, and someone was borrowing a trailer that she didn't know about. Her husband had teed it up. She thought they were stealing it. She went running down the driveway. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Oh, it's just classic story. That's just gold. But things happen. And so when things happen like that, when you step up, when you get more involved in your walk with God, the enemy knows that the effect of you being more involved for God is that he's got to try and sabotage that and shut you down. So be aware of that. So when attack comes on you because you've stepped up, because you're involved, because things are going on, it's not time. You don't need to repent. You just need to resist the devil. Bible says this, submit to God. That's what humbling ourselves and repenting is all about. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Hold your ground. You're going to get through this storm that's come your way. The storm that's come your way, it's come from another source. You're going to get through it. You're going to get to the other side. You will get through. How do you know it's from the devil? Because sometimes people are like, oh, is this from the devil? How do I know? I'm under attack. Oh, I'm going to work, and my boss is just paying out on me, and all the people at work, they're just giving me a hard time, and I just know it's the devil. No, it's not. You're not under attack. You're just underperforming. Sometimes we can't blame the devil for everything. That went real quiet, didn't it? Okay, sorry. Sometimes we just gotta, but here's some things to recognize. Okay, how do I know this is an attack? Well, often it's just a suddenly, it's out of nowhere. Just stirs up and bam. Often it's sustained and over the top. There's like 3, 4, 5 things all of a sudden go wrong, and you go, now this is not just a normal storm of life. This is unusual. It's over the top. I got to be on my guard for what's going on here. Usually it's around spiritually significant times. You're about to do something, or you're stepped into a new season. And so with every new level, there's a new devil. We need to be aware of that and fight that. Resist the devil. Rebuke the devil. Get him off you. I remember a guy coming who just was starting to come to church, and he just said this to me. He said, you know what? I'm waking up every Sunday morning, and I find I've got a migraine. I said, well, you know what that is? That's something of the enemy. There's a storm coming your way. So this is all you've got to do. If you've got Jesus on the inside, you've got authority. And so he'll try you to see if you'll accept it. But all you've got to do is just get a little strong and determined and just go, I don't accept these migraines. They're not from God. My God loves me. I rebuke you, devil. Go migraine. Just like that. It's, you know, like 30 seconds. Just do it. Next week he came to church with this biggest smile on his face. He said, I had a migraine this morning, but I just did exactly what you said. And as soon as I used the name of Jesus, which is above every other name, and I rebuked that thing, that migraine shifted, and I felt good ever since. And he's in church. So understanding the authority. Now, sometimes it's a little bit of resistance that you need to give. Sometimes it's a season of resistance you need to give. That's why it's great to have a fast as a church, because we can resist the enemy together in this zone. All right, here we go. And we're doing good here. Let's get to the third type of storm. This is the normal type of storm. Just the storm of life. They're not happening because the devil's attacking you. They're not happening because you're disobeying God and going the other way. It's just life. And this type of storm is all about distraction. I'll explain this in a moment. How am I going there? Distraction. A storm that wants to take your focus off what's really important. A storm that comes. And these kind of storms, the Bible story that I was reading that relates to this is Peter, when he walks on the water, Jesus calls him out of a boat, and he walks on the water. And he's looking at Jesus, and he's going awesomely. Now, walking on the water is not normal, okay, just so we understand that. I'm aware of that. But, you know, Jesus calls him, he's walking on the water, but then there's around him, there's a storm. There's wind and waves. It says there's a boisterous wind and waves. And it's just a normal wind and wave. And so Peter's eyes go off Jesus onto the waves, onto the storm and the wind and the effect of it. And as his eyes get off Jesus, he begins to sink. And he begins to get overwhelmed, obviously with an anxiety because his brain's going, this is not supposed to work. And he starts to think about this. And his focus shifts from where it should be, which is Jesus, to the problem. And he gets overwhelmed with the problem. And when you get overwhelmed with the problem, he begins to sink. And many of us can have the storms of life, normal storms, bad news, financial pressures, relational breakdowns, moral failure, sickness, or impending mortality can be all different reasons that cause us to be weighed down with anxiety. The first thing I want us to know is when these things are happening, and they're the things of life, the first thing I want us to know is God cares. He absolutely cares. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So if you're suffering from an overwhelming anxiety, Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, wants to come into your life and bring a peace that doesn't make sense. Not because the circumstances change, but because God helps us. Psalm 94 says it like this: "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon been settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." David's talking about the multitude of anxieties that he's facing. Now, here's the first thing I want you to notice. He says, "Unless the Lord had been with me, my soul would have settled in silence." This is what anxiety wants you to do. It wants you to suffer in silence. It wants you to lose your voice. It wants you to stop speaking, stop singing, stop worshiping. It wants you to get on your back foot, stay in the house, not get out, and it wants you to suffer in silence. Can I help someone today who's been overwhelmed by anxiety for a while? The first step to overcoming that anxiety that's overwhelming is find your voice. Find your voice. Don't let the enemy shut down your voice. Find your voice. You're doing so well by being in church here today. Because in church, we're singing and we're lifting up the name of Jesus. And as every time we sing a song to the glory of Jesus, we're making a statement. I'm not going to suffer in silence. I'm not going to let this situation shut me down. I'm not going to let it make me take a back step. I'm going to worship. Find your voice. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties, your comforts, God's comforts, His comforts. There's a love and a peace that wants to get into your heart. If in your heart right now is you're overwhelmed with a situation, a circumstance, something that's just causing you to be all locked up on the inside. And for me, I know when this happens for me, there's symptoms I know. I get jittery. I get edgy. Sometimes I feel my skin crawl. I start to sweat, and I sweat in my arms. And I've had different situations over the years. One particular that I can think of where I was just really overwhelmed. We had a new baby. We had financial pressure. I had business pressure, and we were trying to juggle church responsibilities. And I just remember just being so overwhelmed by all this pressure, overwhelmed to the point where I couldn't get to work. Overwhelmed to the point that I was seeing a doctor for help, which is a good thing to do if you get so overwhelmed. You need to see a doctor. That's a good thing to do. Just seeing a doctor, checking out what's going on with me. And I remember one day just being in that position and just not being able to go to work because I was just stressed out and feeling anxious. I remember I can see myself in our lounge room putting on some worship music because I wanted to change the atmosphere over my world. But I didn't have the strength inside of me initially to do it myself. So that's why I put worship music on. And in the worship music, and someone here today, you're going to go home and download that Breathe album off iTunes, and you're just going to play it, and you don't even have to start by saying anything. You're too overwhelmed to start by saying anything, but you'll just play it, and there'll be something on it that will lift you up, and you'll begin to get up out of the hole. You'll begin to get up and find life comes back to you. And so I did that, and I played it, and I remember tears streaming down my eyes, but just because the overwhelming thing was, in the middle of this situation, God, you care, you comfort, you love, you want to pour love into me. Sometimes it's a season where I'm just listening to worship, but then I found what happened is strength got to my soul, and then I could begin to speak out the words of God. I could begin to worship myself. So don't be silent. Even though there's a multitude of anxieties, let God be a comfort. How does that happen? Well, we begin to worship. We begin to, Philippians has got another great vibe on this. Philippians chapter 4. Let's have a look at this. Be anxious for nothing. It's easier said than done when you're in a situation. So let's find out how we do it. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and God's peace will surpass all your mind, your thinking, your understanding, and He will guard your heart and mind. Anxiety is mostly in our heart and in our thoughts. And God wants to guard our heart and our thoughts. And how will He do it? Okay, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is really about the atmosphere around our life. We just make a choice to be thankful for what I've got. Even though it's all going to deep yogurt over here, God, I'm going to find something to be thankful about. I'm going to shift my focus off the negative and put them on to the good things. And then I'm going to bring my prayer and supplication to God. Another verse in the Bible says, I'm going to cast my burdens on God, Peter writes. Peter's a fisherman. He's used to casting a net. I imagine he's thinking that same sort of thing. When I've got anxieties, I'm going to cast them on God. I'm going to give them over to God. I'm going to find in my prayer life, I'm going to get before God, realizing that anxiety wants me to be silent. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to worship. I'm going to be thankful. But then I'm going to just on the inside stamp my feet a little bit. I'm not going to live my whole life under this burden of these problems. God cares about me. I've got to get it off me. How do I get it? God, this situation with our finances, I give it to you. This situation with my marriage, I give it to you. This situation with my kids, I give it to you, God. This situation in my work, I give it to you, God. It's yours. I cast it on God. Because the enemy wants you to be silenced and he wants you to be isolated. So if you can start to find your voice and then you can get with others, you'll find that there's a ladder to climb out of the hole. It mightn't happen overnight, but it will happen if you commit yourself to it. It goes on, it says this, one more verse I want to refer to as we're bringing it to a close, and it's in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. If you get stuck in anxiety too long, if it overwhelms you for too long, it will eventually be a depressive thing that will keep your emotional world shut down. Anxiety and depression go hand in hand. This is the Bible talking to us. This is God telling us how to deal with it. But it says, but a good word makes it glad. A good word. What's a good word? Well, this book, this Bible is filled with good words. It's filled with promises from God. Promises that will become the ladder to get out of the hole. Promises that we can speak over our life and we'll find. One of my most challenging situations many years ago was in a financial situation with my business. And I would go and I would find myself praying about it late at night, and I would be waking up early in the morning, not being able to sleep. And I'd find myself in that situation and I'd go and I'd pray about it. But my praying was just really complaining to God about it. It's like, are you aware? God, can you help me? God, can you? I was talking, and I basically, because I'd spent the whole time thinking about the problem and just including God, I'd go away feeling more weighed down. And I realized what I needed to do is I needed to change tack. And I needed to then get something from God about God's perspective on the situation and begin to speak God's perspective. And so I found some promises in the Bible that spoke directly to me. That's why reading the Bible is so important. God's got promises for us. As I spoke those promises, this is what began to happen. We were going bust pretty much in the business. I just began to say, God, your word says to me, I'll give you a double portion. And I would just say it and speak it and declare it as I would declare it. The first little while, my brain's telling me, John, you're lying because nothing's going to change. But after a while, there is power in the word of God. There is power in his promises. And after a while of speaking that promises out, I would find that a good word from God would build me up. A good word would get me up. And then something amazing would happen. Just as I get the keyboard to come up right now, Lisa, if you would. Something amazing would happen is I would find that the circumstance didn't change, but I began to get lifted out. I began to get high. Have you ever been in an airplane and you've taken off and it's a crazy storm? Lightning, rain, turbulence. For some of you, there's your anxiety moment right there. I know that. But you're getting up and you're just, and the pilot's flying the plane and you're trusting the pilot. And then suddenly you go through the clouds and then you're on top of the clouds. Storm hasn't changed. You just got up above it. That's exactly how God wants us to live. Prayer is not just about changing the circumstances. Prayer is about getting me up above the circumstances. So if they change or don't change, it doesn't matter. I'm going to win. Sometimes my prayer changes the circumstances, but the thing is, I soared above it with God. He's able to guard your heart and your mind with a peace that just you don't comprehend.